that makes them, Lord, feel tired and lethargic. I break those yokes right now. I break those yokes right now. Lord, you said, Lord, it's not about the age. It's about those who wait on the Lord shall soar on wings like eagle. They shall walk and not faint. They shall run and not grow weary. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every spiritual, Lord, lethargicness, Lord, every spiritual slumber, every spiritual slowdown, I rebuke those spirits and I break those yokes in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, my God, hallelujah, Rabalakadabane. Panda barabala hat yanda rabakatora. Pati rabala torose terebende. Le se franda ravana ravanze terebe. Ravando rofo ze fata ravanda raba. Every stiffness in the bones. I don't know medically what you call, but I see the spinal cord and there is bones like in a shape. I think it's in the back. It's in the back. In the name of Jesus, every stiffness, every hold of the enemy. Oh Lord, in those parts of the body, let that be broken right now. In the name of Jesus. Every pain, every stiffness, oh, planted by the enemy, I command it, go out now. In the name of Jesus. Lebana manto barito koravanze levarahadare sevariashkatavorianda o razaka baramronto kolevandarava efrala hazam vondarazende rebala kabora shebora bandria. Come on, let's pray in the spirit. Let's pray in the spirit for a few minutes. Hallelujah. Rabala to raband kerevende to rabani rebansa darabando koravize tere. Oh, Rababa Blike Manoro Volze Kele Mune, Emalati Andra Balakato Robolo Hosabania, Barando Rabambra Mando Robo Sembre Bendi Andra Banaraba, Rababa Ushkaya, Eshketo Ramanza, E Prando Kora Balahalze Brementi Yanda, Rabadabo Rabansi Antaraba, every back, Lord, every back problems, Lord, even, Lord, I don't know if it has already happened or it's going to happen, even problems in the back, in the hips, in the waist, where they need to wear some belts there. Oh, Lord, those kinds of physical ailments, Lord, I release your healing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I don't know if it is already they are wearing the belts or Lord Satan is doing something that they are taking that person to wear those belts, depend on wearing the belts for the back pain and for the hips problem and all those stuff. Lord, I pray I cancel the works of the enemy right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Lord, I release your healing. I release your healing right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Reba la tora zianta raba. Lakanda raba and yandra laba. People of God, pray with me and pray this prayer. Ask God to break every yoke of slowdom upon your lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, every demonic delays. In the name of Jesus Christ, be cancelled right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, every demonic lands, demonic realms that make you wander. Oh, in the name of Jesus, come out of it. In the name of Jesus, come out of it. Come out of it. Rebal siyal taraba. Abraham, you will no longer wander in Egypt. You have to come back to the altar of God in Bethel. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, razeketo robo koto moneke valato revande. Evalaha davari anze ferevende. Oh, holziandra la Lord, every spirit, Lord, working against ministries. Working against ministries, working against the pastors, working against the evangelists. I bind those spirits, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, every hold of darkness that is weighing down, Lord, servants of God. Oh, brethren, Lord. Oh, Lora Seterebe, who are working for God, who are in the service, who are in the ministry. I break those holds right now. Every witchcraft against them. I destroy the arrows of the enemy shot against their lives. I destroy every manipulation of the enemy, Lord, released against their lives from demonic altars. I send the word of the Lord to destroy and burn those altars from the roots. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, let not the enemy stop your people from serving you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, the enemy who is tracking them, the enemy who is fighting, Lord, persecuting them, oh, the enemy who is stealing from them, oh, Rezia, it happened with Isaac. They stole the water for the well that he dig. Oh, Rabal, Zeketi, Araba, the enemy who is stealing them, oh, Lord, so that they will stop digging. Oh, Father, I bind the works of the enemy. I bind those stealing spirits, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Rabalad, you said, Lord, that enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you have come to give life and life in abundance. Father, let that abundant life manifest in their lives. I come against every demonic order of locusts. Every demonic order of locusts that destroys the produce, oh Lord, that your children, Lord, work for, that your children labor for. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, hallelujah, I come against those demonic order of locusts, the chewing locusts, the swarming locusts, the consuming locusts, Father. And Lord, I ask, as you have declared by your Lord, by your word, by your prophet Joel, oh, I declare restoration in all that the locusts have consumed, in all that the locusts have eaten up. Restore those things back, oh God, and lift, Lord, and every shame and reproach be taken away from your children, that you will lift their heads high, Lord. You will prepare a table before them, before their enemies, and you will anoint their head, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every work of the enemy at the table of God, at the altar of God, every infiltration of spirits, Lord, I uproot, Lord, those spirits in the name of Jesus. Lord, every spirit sent by the enemy at the table of God, at the altar of God, to pollute the altar of God, oh, in many ways, Lord, I bind entry points right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We are feasting at your table tonight, and I pray whatever the enemy would want to send, Lord, or to pollute or to corrupt, I rebuke the works of the devil in Jesus' name. I command him out in Jesus' name. I expose the seed that the enemy sows while men are sleeping, Lord, that there will be no confusion and tares among the wheat in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Lord, holy Lord, holy Lord. Oh, I want to thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord, once again for granting us this time. I just cover this meeting, Lord. Cover all your precious people, Lord. Hallelujah. Who are here, who might be joining, Lord. I cover all of them, Lord. Lord, the places, their houses, the atmosphere from wherever they are joining. Lord, cover those places, Lord, with the blood of Jesus. Cover those people, Lord, cover the meeting, Lord, with the walls of fire, with the blood of Jesus. We just give you all praise, honor, and glory. Continue to speak to us. Continue to teach us, Lord. Hallelujah. I humble myself before you, Lord. And I want to say, without you, I can do nothing. So I ask you for grace. I ask you for your utterance, Lord, once again, Lord. Lord, for your voice, Lord, that will speak to people, and that will speak to nations, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, I give you glory, my Master. Oh, be glorified in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, I ask this prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We are on the subject of the false god of the debased mind, or the another topic or heading that God gave me was the god of the human heart. God in smaller case, not in the upper case, in lower case, the lower case. So it's not the Jehovah God. The god of the human heart is a false god. He's the false god of the debased mind. And I told you how Satan is doing overtime. And he is running many campaigns, he's running many meetings, and he is releasing many of his teachers who are wolves but in the clothing of the sheep, who are teaching doctrines that are leading people to have a debased mind. And my prayer at the start of this series was that, Lord, no one here should go in that state of debased mind in the mighty name of Jesus. No one should go in that state of debased mind. Hallelujah. Many people get wrong. Oh, you know why other? No, I am not against others teaching. I am not against anyone. But you read your Bible carefully. The apostles had to feed the sheep with the doctrine of the word of God and had to expose false doctrines, theories, principles of men that were taking them away from Christ and leading them to hell. So if Satan wants to deceive people, it will be through doctrine. It will be through doctrine. And there is a doctrine that has been propagated, not outside the church, but in the church, where the doctrine is to lead people to this false God who will control their debased mind, who will lead them into a debased mind and start to wreck their lives when they have a debased mind. All right, so I already started off this Friday, and I told you that there is a doctrine, and I took a specific teaching, quoting the man, a certain so-called man of God, who says, when God speaks to about you, when God speaks about you, he speaks only good things. So don't let your thoughts about yourself that are not in God's mind enter your mind. So they say, when God speaks about you, he will only speak good things about you. He will never speak a rebuke. He will never speak a correction. He will never tell you, I don't want you to fall into that sin. I don't want you to lust from your eyes. Those negative things, those corrective things, God does not speak. He only speaks good things. Now, it may sound like what's the problem? It's God speaks good things. Yes, God speaks good things. But God is the God who also rebukes, corrects, exhorts, chastens. Okay, that's there in the scripture. So I told you, God chastens us sometimes with the rod, sometimes with scourges, sometimes with his words. He chastens us. And then the Bible says that whom I chasten, they are my sons and daughters. If you are not chastened by God, we saw in Hebrews chapter number 12, the Bible says if you are not chastened by God, if you don't hear the Lord rebuking you, if you don't hear the Lord correcting you, you are illegitimate and you are not his sons. Hallelujah. Okay. We saw in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 19, how Jesus rebuked the church of Laodicea. He said, I wish you would be either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. And you are naked, you are miserable. This is Jesus speaking to a church. This is Jesus speaking to Christians, to believers. That is how he rebukes. And then he says, whom I love, I also rebuke. So may I pray that those people who have not experienced the love of God in the rebuke of God, may you experience it after this teaching in Jesus' mighty name. Because when God rebukes, there is the love. If you are in the spirit, if you are in submission to God, that is the love, the warmth, the presence of God that you feel when he rebukes. And you know that when he rebukes is not to cast you away from his presence. When he rebukes is to bring you closer to him. You will feel that when he rebukes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. So you will feel that. You will feel that. Okay. That is what we saw. We saw that God exposes his own servants when time comes. It's not that, I am the servant of God. God will only exalt me, magnify me before people. That is what some prosperity preachers have been preaching to you. God is God who will speak good things, who will always elevate me. These are the people who have been speaking this doctrine from 40, 50 years, and you see them being exposed today. Man did not expose them. God exposed them. And we saw that from the scripture, God exposed his own servant David, a man after God's own heart. He sent Nathan. David was not the one told, exposed himself. He sinned. He killed Uriah. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he forgot about his sin. He was just living a normal life. Then God sent Nathan the prophet, and he spoke a parable, and he told David, "You are that wicked man. I gave you so many wives. I gave you so many things. You would have asked from me. Why did you steal the man's wife and kill the man?" God exposes his servants. Are we together? So servants of God, don't believe in a doctrine where some mentors have taught you, "Oh, nothing will happen to you. You just preach this prosperity gospel. God will elevate you because you are a special man." No, no, no. God is just. God is not partial. God is not partial. If you break the commands of God, you practice sin, you practice adultery, you murder people, you will be exposed. God exposes people. So this doctrine that I told you that this people are preaching is not about our God, because our God is not a God who always speaks good things about you. So what? Then I told you that God punishes his servant. God punished Moses. And we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 to 26, that Moses pleaded with God, "God, could you send me that I will see the beauty of the Lebanon in Canaan? I want to see the mountains. I want to see the beauty." God said, "No means no. Don't talk to me about it." That is how God is speaking with Moses. God is serious. So God is not a God who only propagates good things. "You do whatever you want, my child. I will continue to bless you. I will continue to lift you up. I will continue to..." No, 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 no. That is another God. That is not the God of the Bible. That is not the God of the Bible. It's a false God that wants to rule over a debased mind. And the doctrine has been released by Satan himself in the churches so that people could be led to a debased mind, the false God of the debased mind, where you start to practice sin and you don't even have the conviction that you are wrong. But you say, God is with me. There is a lot happening, already started to happen in the Western church, especially I see that in the US. I see that in the US, people, believers, good believers are listening to someone who is saying, "I am a man, I love a man, and when we are intimate with each other, I feel the presence of Jesus." That is what and they speak such things on the pulpit. What has happened to them? They are ruled by another God and they are having a debased mind. Are we understanding, people? Shall we go ahead tonight in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. What is a debased mind? What is a debased mind? What is a debased mind? A debased mind, I want to simplify the definition so that everyone can understand it. A debased mind is a mind given up to. If you are writing it down, underline "given up to." That's the important phrase in the definition. A debased mind is a mind given up to follow the devil's voice and the devil as the God ruling over their human heart. A mind that is what? Given up to. Who gave up that person? Who gave up the mind of the person? Given up to the devil. Okay? Hallelujah. So I am like Pastor John, I want you to be my friend. I want to, like my... I'm just giving you an example. I'm like, "Pastor John, I want you to be my friend. I want you to be my, like my younger brother. And I want you to know God. I want to help you know God, help you teach the ways of God." But Pastor John is like adamant. "No, no, no. I don't want to know. I don't want to retain that knowledge. I don't want to have that knowledge. I want to go and smoke cigarettes. I want to go and be there in the world of sin." in the worldly things. I want to go. So I had been telling this to him from, let's say, 10 years. And from 10 years, he said, I don't want to retain the knowledge that you want to give me. I don't want to be with you. So I say, okay, I have tried for 10 years to have this man know God. So what I will do, Brother John, is I will give you up to the world. So that is giving up someone. Hallelujah. And that is what God, do you know the Lord is fighting the battle for your soul? Satan wants you. But the Lord is merciful and loving from many, many years. For some people from 30 years, 40 years, he's merciful and loving. His mercy and his love is more than his anger. So you want to go there again and again, but God says no to Satan. I have paid my son has paid the price for this soul. I want to keep this soul. I want to keep this soul. But when a person decides, I don't want to retain this God in my knowledge and his word in my knowledge. And when a person, even after knowing the sacrificial work of Christ, tasting the blessings of God, tasting the presence of God, decides, I don't want him. I don't want to retain him. What God does is, I cannot do anything for this man. Satan, I give this person to you. That is giving up to. A mind that is given up to. Hallelujah. People of God, can you say amen if you are understanding? A mind that is given up to. Are we together on that? So there is a battle for your soul. There is a battle for every one of our soul that God is fighting. Oh, may you know that how God loves you. So that is given up to. God gave them up to a debased mind. Why? Because they did not like to retain God in their mind. So God gave them up to believe lies. God gave them up to lying spirits. That is what happened with Israel. God sent many prophets like Jeremiah, like Ezekiel, Isaiah, to warn Israel. Never listened. They never listened. They rejected him, rejected the prophets of God, the word that God was speaking to them. And then the time came, God gave them up to the enemy. God gave them up to Babylon. May that never happen with us in Jesus' name. May that never happen with you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Debased mind is dangerous. So a person who has debased mind, Satan has full control over that person. The person has been made opposite to what God has created them to be. So that's why this new community has been formed. They are completely opposite to what God created them to be. Nouns and pronouns and this and that. All those stuff that is happening in the Western world, and it's already in the Eastern side now, in Asian countries, even in India, because I had been having some dreams about that spirits. I had been having dreams that I don't have the time to share now, but even about my nation India. Okay, so and there are communities being formed and rallies being held on the streets about this community. Why? This God is propagating himself, the God of debased mind. So that is the definition of debased mind. A debased mind is a mind given up to follow the devil's voice, and the devil as the God ruling over their human heart. Okay? Ruling over the human heart. I want to expose after this. Let me go to the scripture and let me then expose the highly demonic, satanic doctrine that many Christians have adapted and is been preached now. So Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter number 1 first. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter number 1, verse number 28. You got to memorize this word, Romans 1:28. It's a very important word. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. So that is a debased mind. God what? Released them to Satan, to a debased mind. God gave them over to debased mind to do things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So if you are a person who even approves the activities of people who have a debased mind, you are a partaker in the judgment with them. Are we understanding? It says that who knowing the righteous judgment of God, the gospel being preached to them, the gospel being taught to them, they know the righteous judgment of God. But even after that, they practice such things which are not fitting at all the things that God mentioned now in the verses 29 to 31. Such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. As a Christian, never approve sin. Never approve the works of darkness. Never come into agreement, even verbally, saying, I agree with what they are doing. No. Sin is sin. Don't approve of those things. That means you are approving the doctrine of Satan from your mouth. Even those who approve of such things, don't call evil good and good evil. Are we together, Christians? In the book of Isaiah, don't call that so that you might be recognized as a person who has a broad mind. You don't have a broad mind. You have started to develop going towards a debased mind, and you don't have a broad mindset. When you say, oh, you know what they are doing, it's fine, you know. No, it's not fine. Evil, call evil evil and call good good. Don't let your words partake of the demonic sins that are, and the unrighteousness that are practiced in the world by human beings. Yes, that is what the Bible says. Are we understanding that? So, let me come back to what? To verse number 28. Very important verse, Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. God loved them. God wanted them, but because they said, I don't want to retain you, Lord, and your word. And God had been fighting the battle for their souls. But at last, when God saw they are adamant, they are stubborn, they are not going to retain me, God said, I can't do anything with this person. I give him over. What God gives them over? God gives them over to a debased mind. Do you know Jesus is fighting for your soul? Yes, it's there in the Bible, for all our souls. Many of us, we are so casual about our Christian life. We do whatever we want, but there is God. Don't take him for granted anymore. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you know what? Satan has asked for you from me, but I pray that your faith may not fail. Satan has asked for you, Peter, to swift you away like wheat, to take you away. But I have kept you with me. That is Jesus. Hallelujah. That was Peter, the disciple of Jesus. How much more than for us, Jesus loves us. But when, and Peter, Jesus knew this guy, Peter. Now, what Peter was operating in was not a debased mind. It was a carnal mind. I will come to that when we come to the types of mind. The battle for your soul is won to God or it is won by the devil, depends on the state of mind you operate in. Everyone say, the winning of my soul depends on the state of my mind. Everyone say that. The winning of my soul depends on the state of my mind. There are four states of mind mentioned in the Bible. There is the carnal mind. The carnal mind is also enemy to God. It does not please his God. Romans chapter number 8. There is a spiritual mind. That is the mind that God wants us to have. There is an anxious mind. That is a mind that is attacked even when we are in the spirit and given thoughts of anxiousness. And then comes the debased mind. So if you are in the carnal mindset, there is a battle for your soul. Satan is trying to pull you, but Jesus is trying to keep you. But when you come to the place where you have led, you have expired your grace period and you come on the verge, saying, God, I don't want you, I said, like Cain. Like Cain. So God has to give you over to the debased mind. That when the fourth state I mentioned, the debased mind has no chance to come back. Where God has given a person over to debased mind. Hallelujah. But I pray through the teaching of this word, everyone who listens, God, you will make it to heaven. You will make it to heaven in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what I want to tell. Okay, there are four states of mind. Let me not come on that now. Let me get. So what I'm trying to tell you is the state of your mind decides where your soul is. A person who has a debased mind, his soul is with the enemy. When the person will die, the soul will go to hell. A person who has a carnal mind, his soul is also with the enemy. A person who has a carnal mind, but not completely, Jesus is trying to pull that person back. So, I pray that we will, when we pass from this earth, when we pass away into afterlife, we will not die either in a carnal mind or in a debased mind. We will die with a spiritual mindset. We will walk with the Lord, and while walking with the Lord will call us back to be with him forever. Hallelujah. A spiritual mind is a mind that is focused on the heavenly city, on the things of heaven. That is a spiritual mind. Okay, we will come to those mindsets. But are we understanding the battle for our soul? So many of us, Jesus is fighting for us. That's why the book of Romans says, that he is seated at the right hand of God, not to enjoy the luxury of heaven. Jesus is interceding for us. He is the great intercessor. Jesus is interceding for us, that our souls may not be gone in the hands of the devil, that we might not have a debased mind where we are given up to things that are unfitting. And we say, we are doing these things, but Jesus is with me. The presence of God with me is with me. It's a fake God. It's a fake Jesus the people are talking about. Yes, they are blaspheming. And it's related to the coming of the Antichrist, who will start to speak blasphemous words against God and against the saints of God. Hallelujah. So that is a debased mind. That is a debased mind. A debased mind is a mind given up to follow the devil's voice, and devil as God ruling over their human heart. Now, this is a satanic teaching. The construction of the debased mind has been founded on the base of a doctrine, and the doctrine is now preached in the church. What I told you, that was a That was the teaching of a man of God, so-called man of God. I will not even call him a man of God, because he's saying God only speaks good things to you. He never speaks bad things. He is subtly promoting the false God, that is Satan, to rule over the human heart. And this is a satanic teaching. And this satanic teaching came from a satanic priest, the initiator of satanic religion, called Aleister Crowley. And this is what he said, quoting him, "Do what thou will, this shall be the whole law." This is his teaching. What? Do what thou will. Whatever your will, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. This is the whole law. And this man was an English occultist, ceremonial magician, a prophet who founded the religion of Thelema, a satanic religion. So this commandment that is now subtly, not directly, but indirectly preached in many churches and by many pastors, has originated originally from an English occultist, from a ceremonial magician, and who was a demonic prophet who founded the religion called Thelema. I don't want to go in much into that, but it's a satanic religion, like Christianity, a religion called Thelema. So what did he say? He has written many things, many commandments that are from Satan. And he said, do what thou will. Do whatever your heart says. Have you heard that anytime, people of God? Anyone who has heard saying people that whatever your heart wants, go ahead and do it. It will be well with you. Have you heard that saying or not? Anyone here? I have heard that saying. My sister heard it. Anyone else heard that? Do what thou will. Whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. It will be well with you. Whatever your heart wants, go ahead and do it. It will be well with you. Sister Pushpa heard it. Follow your heart, Nick. Sister Nicole. Yes. Yes. I mean, go on the... I remember I even heard it from non-Christians who are on the YouTube and everything. You know, they have a lot of people following them. That is what their the phrase they start off their video with. Whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. It will be well with you. So what is that? That's the doctrine of Satan. That's the saying of Satan himself. And then when you take many doctrines that are preached in the church, you will see the foundation of those doctrines are on what this Satanist has already said. So that doctrines are not coming, it's not coming from the Bible's doctrine, from the apostles' doctrine in the Bible. Their doctrine is coming from a satanic priest of what he preached. And then they mix up the Bible, do some mixture, put some salt and MSG so that it will taste good to you and you like to eat it. Not verifying from where have they brought the produce of the crops of the food they are using in the feeding they are giving to you. And you eat of it because it tastes delicious. And then you are a victim. It corrupts your mind and it slowly releases the poison in your mind to take you away from God. It will happen slowly to make you slowly rebellious, to say things like, whatever, you cannot stop me. You know, what is this God's word? I know God's word. I will do whatever I want to lead you into and God is with me in this. God is with me in that. The stench of sin into your consciousness has slowly faded away. So you have become like a leprous person after receiving the poison from this doctrine. You know, the leprous person, leprosy was a sinful disease, a sinful infirmity in the Old Testament, where if a person is leprous, they are casted out. The leprosy actually, scientifically, is something that you don't sense anything. So if your hand is leprous, even if someone comes and cuts your hand, you will not feel it. No feeling at all. That is leprosy. So it is to make a person spiritual leprous. Spiritual leprosy is a debased mind, that where you don't feel the conviction that what you are doing is wrong. You are just going on your way to follow your own heart. Are we understanding? So this is what is subtly being taught. Whatever you want to will, go ahead and do it. God is with you. Whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. God is with you. By using the name God or Jesus, He's with you. Yes, yes, yes. Don't worry. God is with you. So this is a satanic doctrine, but it's not from the Bible. It's not from the Bible, because the Bible terms the human heart as the highly deceptive instrument of the human body. That is what the Bible says. Your human heart, don't follow it. It will betray you. Your human heart is highly deceptive. It's highly wicked. It's highly evil. Don't follow it. That is what the Bible says. But Satan says, follow your heart. Because Satan has taken over that heart from the time you were born. Are we understanding that? But when we come in Christ, what we need to do is keep our feelings, keep our heart away, and take on the word of God. Put on Christ and crucify the will of our heart. Crucify what our heart wants. That is true Christianity. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 17. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter number 17. Verse number 9 to 10. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yes, it's your heart. It's my heart. My heart is deceitful. Deceitful about what? What is deceit? Deceit is something that deceives you. It betrays you. It is a house of lies. What? Your heart. How many of you want to follow your heart? Do you want to follow your heart? Now, the Bible says your heart is deceitful above all things. Everyone say, my heart is deceitful above all things. Everyone say that. Hallelujah. Christians need to realize to make a distinction between the voice of your heart and the voice of God. And when you, how do you know that you are coming close to God? You will understand that your heart is wicked and wicked and wicked. And you will start to hate your own heart. And the things that come out of your heart. And the ideas that come and the plans that come out of your human heart. You will start to hate those things. And say, God, I don't want those things. Means you have come close to God. Hallelujah. Your heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. You see those words being used in the scripture. Desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? So the heart is a mystery. I have preached a sermon called the mystery of the human heart. You can refer to that. So I'm not going to go much into this. Who can know it? It means the meaning of it is you don't even know what your heart can produce. You yourself don't know your heart. It is only God who knows the hearts of men. Are we understanding? So have you heard statements? Maybe you have yourself made it once. I know my heart. I know what I am doing. But what I want to tell you, my brethren, is I don't know my heart. I don't know to the extreme to which it can go. Hallelujah. You are saying today, oh, I am free from the love of money. I don't want the worldly treasures. I don't want this. I don't want that. And tomorrow, if Satan sends a person with a big offer, see how your heart reacts. So your heart is tested under situations. It's not what you claim your heart it is. It really is. Are people understanding here? But when we are put If you say, oh, you know what, I want to, if I say, I want to follow Christ, I have no love for the world, I have no love for, you know, I have no that, no lust. And if Satan studies me and puts a woman in front of me, a Jezebel, a Delilah, and then how I react, that will show up what is really in my heart. Not what I think my heart is like. I know my heart is pure. Hallelujah. When you will see beautiful women, when you will see fresh currencies of dollars, Satan offering you, then your heart, then you know what is your heart really. So that's why the Bible says, who knows it? Who can know it? You yourself don't know it. God knows it. God knows it, your heart. Oh, so I want to make a statement, only and only the one who knows your heart is God himself, not even you yourself. Hallelujah. When I read my Bible many times, so I go through some things that I realize that are the human nature, the characteristics of a human heart. And when I read my Bible, and when I read about Solomon, when you will see afterwards, you can read about Solomon, you will see when Solomon was young, and when the father David passed away, he became the king. God met with him and he asked for wisdom. God gave him the wisdom. But there, God was again and again telling him one thing. If you sway away from my commandments and don't follow my commandments as your father David did, my hand will be against you. And if you start to worship other gods, so God said this again and again to Solomon. And then, to my surprise, Solomon fell into the same sin that God was indicating to him while he was speaking to Solomon. Then I come to the realization, I understand that God knew what was in Solomon's heart. When he will get a lot of wealth around him, lot of things around him, lot of women, his heart will be diverted from God. God knew his heart. God knows even before you will sin, because God knows your heart. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. God knows our heart. Who can know it? So the human heart is a mystery. The human heart is mystery. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Verse number 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Now, for those who have not heard me earlier, I want to tell you, the heart and the mind are one and the same thing. When the Bible says heart, mind, it's the inner being from where, it's the place from where the thoughts of a man originate. That is a heart. So the heart is actually the mind. The heart and the mind are the same. It's not the biological heart that pumps blood. It's the place in our being where thoughts originate. So the Lord is saying, I search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Hallelujah. So the Lord only tests the heart and mind of a person. He only knows what is in our heart, how our heart is. So that's why the Bible says, keep your heart above all, guard your heart, because from it flows the issues of life, in the book of Proverbs. Because the heart is very impatient. The heart is very, if you don't control it, it will lead you on the way of destruction. And that is what Satan uses. He says, follow your own heart. Why? Because Satan is the one who took over the human heart and mind by making man eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the fall of man in Genesis chapter number 3. Let me go there a bit. Genesis chapter number 3, where the fall of man is mentioned. Verse number 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So man was constructed as a human being, where man's heart could not have his own ways, but the Spirit of God was upon the heart of man, leading the man's heart. Are we understanding? That is how God formed Adam, with his Spirit. He breathed into Adam, that is the Ruach Elohim, that is the Holy Spirit given to Adam. Now Satan took advantage of the loophole and the lack of understanding of the revelation of God's word. So the thing is, God spoke to Adam, but he never spoke to Eve. In the book of Genesis, right there, showing that man as the head of the family, and the man should be the communicator of God's revelations to his family. The role of a husband, the role of a man, the man being the first pastor that God ordained to share the right information with Eve. Are we together? Are you listening, people of God? So God said to Adam in Genesis chapter number 2, that you shall not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Yeah? Verse number 16, Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is okay. So every tree of the garden you will eat, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the commandment. That was the word of God to Adam. If you eat of the tree, you will die. Now, when God is saying you will die, there is a depth in it. There is a revelation in it. When God is saying to Adam, you will die, God is saying to him, you will not have my Spirit leading you. So if you don't have my Spirit, you are as good as dead to me. That is what Romans chapter number 8 says. For those who have the Spirit of Christ in them, they are of God. They are living to God. Are we understanding? That was the revelation. So somewhere down the line, what Satan came to Eve with was the fact that Eve did not know the definition of death. So Satan told Eve, you shall not surely die. Because Satan, the serpent, recognized that this woman does not understand the definition of death. You shall not surely die. If you eat of it, you will live. But Satan is talking about some death and God is talking about another death. So that's why the children of God have to be fed with God's revelation. You have to understand the scripture. What is God speaking in the scripture? And when you understand what is God really speaking in the scripture, it will keep you away from Satan's doctrine and from the deception he brings to you. Are we understanding? So this pastor Adam failed to communicate God's word along with revelation. Many teach God's word, that is good, but they don't teach God's word with revelation of God, what God wants to speak. They don't bring out the heart of God from the scripture. So if you are listening just some teaching, okay, this A equal to B, B equal to C, that means we think A is equal to C, that is how the Bible teachings you hear, Satan will deceive you easily, because you don't understand what God is speaking in the scripture. What are the definitions? What is death as per God? What is life as per God? What is sin as per God? Are you understanding that? That's why you will see in many of my sermons, when I preach a sermon, I will give you definitions. If I preach about rebellion, I will give you a definition about rebellion. What is rebellion? And then I will show you from the scripture. If I teach you about idolatry, I will give you a definition. What is idolatry? And I will, then if I talk about grace, I will give you a definite definition. If I talk about the gifts, I will give you a definite definition about those things. because we have to understand the word, what God is speaking. So this serpent came to Eve and said, what? The serpent said to the woman, Genesis 3 verse 4, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So what does that mean, people of God? I have already taught on that many times, many things. That one line, Genesis 3, 5, is the serpent's doctrine. The three things that he says there. Your eyes will be opened, you will be like God and knowing good and evil. What he's trying to say to Eve, that you will be an independent party opposite to God. You will be like God. You know, hallelujah. Are we understanding? Like Sister Pushpa has a restaurant and Sister K is working under her in the restaurant, in her restaurant. Okay. So I come and tell Sister K, I want to give you an offer. If you accept that offer, you will be like Pushpa. You don't have to work under her word, under her authority, and keep, you know, be dependent on the salary she gives you. If you take my offer, you will be independent. You will become another party like Pushpa. You will have your own restaurant. And you can handle that restaurant by your own will, with your own heart, with your own decisions. That is when the human heart became naked. Hallelujah. So when Adam and Eve ate that fruit, the Bible says they felt they were naked. The nakedness was not about their physical body. The nakedness was of the human heart, which was without the covering of God now. It left them. It left them. So you will see in the Bible that when the eyes were open, verse number 7, Genesis 3, verse number 7, then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. So they tried to sew what? Fig leaves to make themselves covering. Look after that. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God, of the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. My question to you is, if they made leaves to cover their body, even after that, why they were feeling naked? Even after they covered themselves, why they were feeling naked? Because when man falls into sin, when man starts to follow their human heart, they start to produce physical solutions to spiritual problems. Something that was of the spiritual heart, they tried to make a physical solution to solve it, and it was not solved. People of God, are you getting what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Are you? Amen. When you start to follow your own heart, are you understanding? Something that needs to be solved by God, you try to solve it by physical means and it never gets solved. So the nakedness, they try to cover it with fig leaves by their own understanding, because they have their own will now. They have their own understanding now. They can do something through their human intelligence. The human intelligence is nothing before God, I am telling you. Spiritual knowledge is far above what the books of the world can teach you. I'm not saying stop going to school and colleges and become a Bible student only. No. But what I'm saying is, the knowledge that you get from God will surpass the knowledge of the books that you read on this earth. It will lead you to solve problems in the way it should be solved, from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So they tried to cover themselves with leaves. But even after that, when God came, they were feeling naked, because the nakedness could only be solved by God. That's why God sent his son Jesus on this earth to die for our sins, so that he can clothe our naked hearts back with his Spirit and give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Give us the gift of the garment of righteousness that can clothe our hearts back, so that we can have a spiritual mind that will walk in the ways of God. Are we understanding? So when you are born from your mother's womb, you are born with a naked heart. It does not have covering. It is wicked. It is deceitful. It will go in the way it wants. It's highly desperately wicked. You don't know it because it is naked. And when a thing is naked and without a covering, demonic spirits can control it. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says we need Jesus. First of all, why we need Jesus? Because we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's why we need Jesus to clothe us, to clothe our nakedness, to clothe the nakedness of our heart, to clothe the nakedness so that we will have his mind, a spiritual mind. Hallelujah. And not a debased mind, not a carnal mind, but a spiritual mind. Are we understanding? I am different. So I don't believe preachers who say sin does not matter. Many of the prophets are coming and saying sin does not matter. Fornication is okay. And all those stuff, they are leading you to have a naked heart. You don't want to have a naked heart, so that you will be susceptible to doctrines of demons that will lead you into sin, that will lead you into corruption, that will lead you into a debased mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Another scripture. The below verses have to be understood if you want to understand God's doctrine. The devil's doctrine is based on the human heart. Follow your heart, because the devil knows from the time you were born, your heart is naked. Because as a result of the fall of Adam, of man in the Garden of Eden, every man is born in sin. But the gift of life is through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When we put our trust in him, we have to understand what we have to do, what he has done to us. We are born of the Spirit, and the nakedness of our heart is now covered with the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God taking charge and control over our heart to lead us, and not our own heart and feelings. Hallelujah. Okay. The below verses have to be understood if you want to understand God's doctrine. Matthew's chapter number 22. Turn with me. Matthew's chapter number 22. Verse number 36 to 38. Matthew's 22, verse number 36 to 38. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So surrender your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Get rid of the desires of your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the first and the great commandment. You see what God, what the Bible says about the human heart? Jesus never said, follow your heart. It says, but rather, love the Lord with all your heart. So in your heart, there should be no area where you love something else or love yourself. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart. The low self-esteem and all those problems will diminish, will be dealt with when you love the Lord with all your heart. Are we understanding that? This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? That means, I have told about the loving in all discernment. Loving in all discernment is first, Jesus said, love others as I have loved you. So first of all, you got to understand how God loves you. So how God loves you, he will not take part in your sins. His presence will not be there when you are going against his word. You are grieving the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit will leave you, but his Holy Spirit will convict you. That is how God loves you. And then in the same way, you have to love your neighbor as the love that you have for yourself. And where does your love come from? Your love comes from Christ. Are we understanding? So that is the basis of the human heart, the doctrine that the Bible teaches. The Bible never teaches to follow your heart. The Bible never teaches to be led by your heart and the emotions of your heart, but the Bible rather exposes the heart in Jeremiah chapter 17, 9 to 10. And then the Bible says, love the Lord with all your heart. So in your heart, there should be only your first love should be God. And then that means the Spirit of God, the love of God ruling your heart and not anything else. Are we together? Hallelujah. So when you read your Bible, you will come across four mindsets. There are four mindsets in the Bible. And then by learning about those four mindsets, we will be able to understand that how God fights a battle for our souls. Okay, to save us, to go into the fourth mindset, that is the debased mind. That is the debased mind. So the first mindset the Bible mentions about is a carnal mindset. The second mindset the Bible mentions about is a spiritual mindset, spiritual mind, which is also called as the mind of Christ, which can be also called as the mind of God. That is the spiritual mind. The third mind the Bible talks about is the anxious mind. The fourth mind the Bible talks about is a debased mind. Are we together? So when you are in the carnal mind, when you are in the spiritual mind, or when you are in the anxious mind, God has still a hold on you. You have chances that you can go to heaven. Spiritual mind, you have 100% chances. Even anxious mind, I will come to that. Anxious mind is a mind while having the spiritual mind. Have you ever realized that even when you are in the spirit, listen to me, that means you are receiving the word of God, you are seeing dreams and visions, and when you are walking in the spirit, maybe you are on a fast and pray, and you are spending time in the secret place, right in between, suddenly some anxious thoughts start to bombard your mind. While you are spending time with God in a spiritual mind. So anxious mind is an attack against the spiritual mind. Carnal mind is an enemy of God, is a mind of the flesh, is a mind of the human intelligence. Remember how Adam and Eve tried to solve their own problem by sewing the fig leaves and covering themselves? That's the carnal mind. Many of the Christians, more than 90% of the Christians, operate in carnal mind. They try to solve spiritual problems whose roots are in the spirit realms by physical solutions and physical intelligence. That will never ever happen. Hallelujah. Amen. When a Christian is in debts, or when a Christian is financially struggling, the Christian looks for everywhere. Oh, what I can do, which bank I can go, which thing I can do, which... But the Christian never goes to God in the secret place to find out, Lord, reveal to me why I am suffering financially. Why did my father also suffer financially? Why did my grandfather also suffer financially? Lord, what is the cause of this poverty? Speak to me. Reba sakato boroko loti yarabanda. So you are breaking free from a carnal mindset and you are trying to search for things in the spirit. That means you have started to operate in the spiritual mindset where you are not. You understand that even if someone gives you a lot of money, your poverty will not go because it's spiritual. It's a curse. It's something coming from deeper realms that you have to go and solve it. Are we understanding that? So there are, hallelujah, four mindsets in the Bible. Hallelujah. Carnal mind, spiritual mind, anxious mind. Debased mind. Anxious mind comes in as an attack to your spirit mind. Because when the devil knows you are going deep and you will come to know that he is causing the problem and not your job and not your boss. It was the devil. It is a curse. It is an altar. When the devil knows when you are operating in the spirit, he will bring anxiousness. Hallelujah. Has it ever happened to you? I don't know. It has happened to me. In my time with God, when I'm going deeper, suddenly, I don't know, thoughts start to bombard in my mind. Anxiousness. Are we understanding the differentiations? So these are the mindset, and then comes the debased mind, where a person does not even fight for carnality. He wants to be carnal. He wants to be in the flesh. He does not want God. He does not want to retain God in his knowledge. So he is given up to the debased mind. So the fight for our soul and to whom our soul belongs to depends on the mindset we operate in. So I am going to start off with the mindset. The doctrine that we hear shapes our mindsets. Write it down. The doctrine that you hear, what shapes your mindset? Sometimes the lifestyle and environment that we are introduced from our childhood is the doctrine infiltrated into our mind that shapes our mind and controls our life. You might say, oh, I did not hear any doctrine when I was a child. No, the doctrine that came to you when you were a child is the lifestyle you were introduced to. Are you understanding? The lifestyle that you were introduced to, the things that you heard from your parents, the things that your parents said to you, the things you saw your parents doing, the environment you were in, shaped your mindset, which is called the carnal mindset, which is called also the old mindset. Are we together, people of God? The generation that God chose, the group of people that God chose to come out of Israel and to go to come out of Egypt and go to Canaan. The people of Israel that God chose to come out of Egypt and go to Canaan. They could not make it to Canaan. Why? Because of mindset. Because of mindset. What mindset they carried? They carried an old mindset, the carnal mindset. Why? Because they were brought up in Egypt. They were brought up in slavery. And the things they did, the service they offered to Pharaoh, the salary they received from Pharaoh, the food they received from Egypt, the teaching they received from Egypt became a mindset, became a stronghold. So the lifestyle you are introduced in your younger days, in your childhood, becomes a stronghold that controls the rest of your life. That's the carnal mindset.
Amen.
Are we understanding? That's a carnal mindset. If you were born into a rich family, you got everything easily, everything. You just have to go and take money from your father. You got a supercar at the age of 13. Whatever you want this, you will get it. You want that, you will get it. The rest of your life, you will never labor and never understand what hard work is. Never understand how to work hard and how some poor people get food on their table. Because the lifestyle you were introduced from your childhood shaped your mindset. On the contrary, if you were born into a family and there you were a victim of abuse, physical abuse, maybe sexual abuse, maybe assault from your own father or mother or things like that, and you were in trauma, that lifestyle in which you lived during your childhood, during your younger days, will give you a mindset. And such kind of people will be suspectable about everyone they meet. Maybe this person will betray, because it's a mindset. It's a carnal mindset. But when you come to Christ, that old mindset has to be broken. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The old mindset has to be broken when you come to Christ. So what did I say? I said the doctrine that you hear shapes your mindset, and sometimes the lifestyle and environment that you are introduced to from your childhood is the doctrine that is infiltrated into your mind that will shape your mind and will control your life. Hallelujah. Let me stop here. And then the next time we will go in the mindsets. Hallelujah. When we come to Christ, beloved people of God, when we come to Christ, that old mindset had to be broken. My mind was shaped by the background I came from, by the life. Your mind was shaped. Your mindset was shaped. The beliefs deep down in your heart you have are not sometimes from God. It's been given and implanted by the mind. By the mind that was developed, by the stronghold that was developed. That is a carnal mind. And we will come to that. I am telling you these things because I want to lay the foundation for the to start off the carnal mind teaching. To start off the carnal mind teaching. That's why I'm telling you all these things. So I'm going to continue and show you from the scriptures how even Apostle Paul had to get rid of an old mind. How even Moses had to get rid of an old mind. Every servant of God, they had to break the old in order to come into the new. You got to break free from the old one in order for you to step into the new. And then we are going to build up and understand and then thoroughly be equipped to be far away from a debased mindset. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this time. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I give you the glory. Father, thank you, Lord. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that no one, Lord, no one will have a debased mind who hears this teaching, Lord. That's what you told me to release this teaching, that you want to save people, Christians, from having a debased mind, from having that false God, that is Satan, ruling over their mind. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I know in the spirit realms that you are breaking and exposing spirits. You are driving out demons, Lord, in the name of Jesus, even as the word is released. You are driving out demons, Lord. Hallelujah, with the fire of the Holy Spirit, Father. In the name of Jesus, by the utterance of your mighty word, because your word acts as a sword when it is released. It acts as a sword cutting through. Oh Lord, the works of the enemy, destroying it in the mighty name of Jesus. We release the sword of the word of God to destroy every mindsets that are not from you in the lives of your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, I want to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. I cover each and every person here with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Your sheep will hear your voice. I know that, Lord. Whoever is your sheep will hear your doctrine. That's how we recognize that they are from God. They are from the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that you will gather all your sheep in your sheepfold, Lord. And you will keep them in your sheepfold under your protection. And Lord, don't allow a hireling to come in and, Lord, deceive them, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, you are Jesus. You are the true shepherd, Lord. Hallelujah. And let your sheep hear your voice and let them be gathered in your sheepfold, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, to be used by you to perform your purposes. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I cover all your precious people with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lead them and guide them in your truth and by your spirit in this coming week. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God bless you.